I want to share with you about the parallels of the land of Israel, the land of God, and the book of God, the Bible. Today, for us, this book is our inheritance. And how much you get out of your inheritance is how much time you spend in the Word of God, how much you see that this is your inheritance. So we're going to see what they did with the land, amen, the features of the land, and how it corresponds with the Word of God. I pray it will excite you and open up your spirit to enter into the Word of God in a fresh new way. Amen. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 right now. It says, "For the Lord thy God brings you into a good land." Say a good land. By the way, this is a good book. You know, there's a phrase in the Bible from Hebrews 6 that says, "And tasted the good word of God." This book has inherent goodness. It will do you good. And when you feed on it, it's nothing but good. Sometimes you eat some food, right? And then in between you read cholesterol this amount, sugar this amount. Those are bad, trans fat this amount. Those things are not good. Right? Oh, y'all don't care, Pastor Prince. You know, I give thanks and I just eat it. All right? Yeah, but I'm just saying that it's hard to find in the world something that's so pure, but here you find it. Amen? The good word of God. In fact, when Joshua and Caleb came out from spying the land of Israel, which God gave to them, like I said, the land parallels with the Bible. Back then, it was a physical inheritance for them. So it's a good land. And when Joshua and Caleb came back, they said of the land that this is, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Not just good land, exceedingly good land. Let me give you the Hebrew. All right, Tova means good. Ha-eretz means land. Tova ha-eretz me'ot me'ot. The word exceeding is repeated twice. Good land, very, very. And the only one that did it is Darby's translation and Young's literal translation brings that out. The land to which we have passed over to spy it is a very, very good land. This Bible, this volume, this entire volume here is very, very good. It's very, and it will do you good. Amen. And God says of the land of Israel, God used this word, that of all the lands in the world, the land of Israel is the glory of all lands. Now, there are many lands. There are larger lands. Amen. There are larger lands. There are more frequented lands. There are lands that are well-known lands compared to Israel. But of all the lands in the world, I believe when God made the earth, God made everything, God positioned Israel for His people, Israel. Amen. The people of Israel. He positioned them. He crafted this land with special features, all right, with special geography, of which some of it we'll look at. And it corresponds to the Bible. So if Israel is the glory of all lands, this is the glory of all books. Because there are millions of books in the world. There are millions and millions down through the years. If you look, put all the libraries and all the books in the world together, there'd be millions. But of all the books, God says this book is the glory of all books. This book has a feature that other books do not have. There is something about a book when you read a novel, for example. When you finish the novel, that's it. It's done. You can put it on site or you sell it off to a secondhand bookstore. You know, it's over and done with. Seldom do you read it twice or three times. I know people do that, but after that, twice at the most, that's it. Amen. You know the story. But this book keeps on speaking and speaking and speaking. Amen. The deeper you go, the more treasures you know. It has vistas. It has vein underneath. Let me just tell you what God says about the land. The land that God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. That means these depths here, these are undercurrent, subterranean water. They are found in the valleys and in the hills. Whenever you're going through a valley season, a season whereby you're going through a tough time. Maybe you have received a bad prognosis from the doctor. Maybe you just received bad news of the foreclosure from the bank. You receive bad news about the deadline you're not able to meet. And there are things happening around your world right now. You feel like you're in a valley. Well, the Bible says, look out for the subterranean underneath your feet. All right, there'll be waters gushing out. And the word here, spring out, is the word gush out. It's inside. But it requires for us to read it, tap into it, until it gushes out. I'm drawing a parallel between the land and the word. You look at the land of Israel, there are lessons there for us to learn, right? Even lessons to teach kids, to teach children. For example, the Dead Sea. Why is it called the Dead Sea and why is there no fish in the Dead Sea? Why? Because it has inlet, it has no outlet. So you've always received and received and never give, you're never generous, you're dead. Amen. But going northward in Israel, if you're facing you the map of Israel, going northward, you go to Galilee. There's a lake called Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and it is thriving with fish. That's where Jesus did the miracle of a net breaking, boat sinking, load of fishes for the disciples. Remember that? And some of you have tasted the descendants of the fish when you are there. Amen? We love it with the head and the tail, right? Not the filet type. Some of us smuggle in sambal belacan. I know of people who smuggle in sambal belacan and we pass it around and they are wondering where the smell is coming from. Amen? But what is fried fish without sambal belacan? Amen? Yeah, come on. Come on, amen? Why is the Dead Sea? Why is the Dead Sea dead? No fish, not a single fish can survive there. Nothing living survives in the Dead Sea. But in the Sea of Galilee, just north, is alive, teeming with fishes. Why? Because it has inlet and it has outlet. You see, it's fresh. Fresh water. Why? Because it's always flowing. You're not just receiving, receiving, receiving. Amen. See, friend, God knows if He can get things through you, He will definitely get things to you. Amen. He can trust you. He can trust you. Be flowing, be a channel. Don't love money, use it for God's glory. Amen. Amen. The more you drink, Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Many a times I pray when I open the Bible, I say, Lord Jesus, I come to you in your word. I come to you in your word. If when I come to Him, what I do? It's for my own drinking. Drinking is personal consumption. You just drink for yourself, for your own pleasure. Drink, drink, drink. And Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, those rivers are for others. It blesses others. But drinking is for yourself. But when you keep on drinking, you'll have rivers flowing out of you. You are refreshing everywhere you go. People love to be around you because you refresh them. It's like when they leave you, they feel like they had a bath. They feel refreshed. They feel clean. They feel good. Amen. I pray that is true every time you leave the church service as well. Like Jesus told His disciples, now you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Vine always speaks of joy in the spirit. Fig tree speaks of sweetness. Amen. The sweetness of God's word is all in God's word. And then pomegranate speaks of fruitfulness. In Song of Songs, the Lord looks at the bridegroom, looks at the bride and says, Jesus saying to the church, you and I, all right? Your head, your forehead is like a piece of pomegranate. Now, if you do not know what it means today, you say, wow, my head's so big. Because you see, a pomegranate is very big, right? And very hot. Amen? Say, so, what? You mean I'm a twatawa? You know? What am I, a big head person? No, no. If you understand the meaning, it's so beautiful, isn't it? You so you dig deeper. And what is the pomegranate all about? You cut half, you find there's a lot of seeds inside. So the seeds are like your thoughts. When the Lord looks at you, the Lord sees your thoughts. And the Lord says, your thoughts are so fruitful. Just one of those seeds, not all, just one. You plant it, you have a tree full of pomegranates and just one fruit full of fruits. Full of seeds, I mean. Amen. Within the seed, there are a lot of fruits. And it goes on. And the Lord says, I look at your thoughts and your thoughts are fruitful, my love. Amen. But then you say, no, Lord, don't look into my thoughts. It's very dirty. It's very unclean. It's not, I don't need to, you know. But the Lord says, no, look closer at the pomegranate fruit. What water washes it? What's the color of the juice? Red. I see your thoughts constantly washing my blood. It's constantly washing my blood. I don't see you in yourself. I see you through my blood and it washes your thoughts. And what is left are all the noble, princely, amen. Beautiful, excellent thoughts. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening, people? So that's pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. That means what? When you spend time in the Word of God, There's a verse in Job that says, when I wash my steps with butter, that means what? Butter comes from what? Coagulated milk. Amen? And the milk has become coagulated and it's actually from milk. So the more you find the richness of God's word, because the Bible says God brings you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Amen. So we have honey, sweetness. There's sweetness in the word of God. Amen. Do you know the Bible says that God's word is so sweet? In Psalms 119, 103, it says this, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth, to my mouth. Amen. What is sweeter than honey? Have you tasted honey? God's word is sweeter than honey. I pray you come to the place where you find God's word is sweeter than honey to your mouth. But Pastor Prince, I find it very hard to start. I don't know where to start and all that. Start somewhere. You mean I can just open anyhow? Yes. And just read, yes. Amen. Oh, Pastor Prince, this sounds so... No, I'm not saying that this is a norm. If you can, all right? How can you build a relationship with someone always on the go? You need to find time to sit down somewhere, relax, and chit-chat. Am I right? Right? You cannot just be on the go and build a relationship. Yes, we're all aware of that. But sometimes this emphasizes so much that people think that I got to have all the tools of the Bible. I must know what kind of commentaries to have to help, what kind of study books to have. They don't even get started. My advice, put a Bible near your toilet bowl. Amen? Where you sit and release and live the let go life, put a Bible there. How can you say that, Pastor Prince? If you are religious, okay, let me tell you this, you'll always be in bondage. Now, that you're no earthly good. That's being legalistic. You think God doesn't know what you have? God created your body. God wants to be life and health to all your flesh. That's why He gave you the ability to purge. Healthy organisms, purge. Healthy churches also. So put one near your toilet bowl. Put one in your dining area. Put one when you watch your Netflix. Put one nearby. Put one when you're watching TV. Sometimes they have a commercial and all that. Some programs you're watching, they have commercial. Pick it up. Read it. Pastor Prince, you should teach people to be more disciplined. Yes, I said just now, that's the norm. We should have time like that. Just like we spend time with people. You cannot build relationship without having a sit-down time. Apart from everyone else. Separated. Holy, if you would. Uncommon time. Amen. That's how you build your relationship. Like for me, I love to date my wife. Right? We can eat at home, but we choose to go out somewhere. And we should go to a hawker center. We eat together. Just being together. That's dating. Amen. You can't just build a relationship. Hi, bye, 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 hi. Amen. But is it okay, church, to tell you this? Every morning when I wake up, all right, my first stop is the toilet bowl. I'm a healthy individual. And you know what I have with me always? A New Testament. I have a New Testament. And I tell you this, out of 10 times, I'm just giving an illustration. Out of 10 times, God speaks. It's not my usual Bible time. Huh? All right? It's not my usual Bible time. But out of 10 times, I'll tell you, God speaks to me 9 times out of moments like that. Amen. God is talking. He wants to talk to you more than you want to receive. Amen. So it's just take the chance. Don't run to your text messages. Don't run to your social media and all that. Speak to God. Let God speak to you. This book is about God speaking to you. You can talk to God. That's prayer as well. You need to talk to God. But you see, when you talk to God, nothing happens usually. God hears your prayer. That happens, of course. But when you talk to God, nothing happens in that sense. But when God speaks, whenever God speaks, things happen. Amen. So this book is about God speaking to you. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Are you all learning? Yes. And then it drops down. Not only that, verse 9. God brings you to a land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. Oh, in this book, you will eat bread without scarcity. Amen. God brings them to a land where they'll eat bread without scarceness. And it says, in this land, you shall not lack anything in it. I said you shall not lack anything in it. Amen. Amen. In this book, you shall not lack anything in it. I don't understand, Pastor, just by spending time in the Word, God supplies me. That's what God says. You think you're living just by, you know, you say bread and butter, right? Issues, our daily life. But it's more than that, friend. Listen, we don't live by bread and butter. We live by the Word of God. That means God supplies. Amen. And it says, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass. The word here, brass, should be copper. Copper is what they used in those days. Now, iron is the strongest metal during that time. I know today it's not. I think there's tungsten and there's titanium. But at one time, iron during the Bible times was the Iron Age, they call it the Iron Age, was the strongest metal then. Those who built their weapons out of iron usually wins the war. So Israel had no iron implements, no iron weapons. The Philistines had iron weapons. And yet God gave victory. So you can see the glory goes to God. God gave victory to Israel. Okay? So God's saying, but this land, the iron that you want is really there. Friend, you got to dig deep. Notice you got to dig. So some things is, some of you feel like you want light reading. How many feel that way sometimes? I feel like just light reading. Then you know what? There are historical narratives. There are stories in the Bible. The story of Joseph is exciting. The drama is there. The intrigue is there. Who betrayed who? And it's all there. All the things you love in drama. The story of Ruth and Boaz, a romantic story. I never fail to read it without getting some encouragement. Even though I know the story, the more I read it, the more I find, I see new insights. And it excites me. Amen. This small book, Ruth. And then you have the story of David. Amen. David and as a boy, David as a king, David running around, being hunted down. And David in his older years. And there are so many narratives, there's stories that, like the stories that we are living in today. So there are times I just love reading the stories. Will I get health out of it? Yes. Please don't think. It doesn't say that my son attend to the healing words only. It says attend to my words. Just reading any part of the Bible yields all the benefits that God promised. Are you listening, people? Amen? Hi, I hope you were blessed and encouraged by this video. If you were impacted by this message, let us know by liking it and leaving a comment below. Lastly, feel free to subscribe to get more inspirational content every week. See you again real soon. God bless you.